Hey, Colin.
Yeah, Cadence.
Do you like media and entertainment that's badass?
Der.
Do you like media and entertainment that's bitchin'?
Yeah.
And how about a little bonkers?
Hills, yeah, throw that in there.
Then I think you might like this thing called the Baywatch Rewatch.
Oh, God. Are you trying to promote the podcast I'm actively doing with you right now?
A little bit. Is it working?
Cool intro. All right. Well,
let's get started.
Let's get into it, guys. We just want to take a minute to talk about Baywatch and what our vision, our overall vision is, and the future that we want to present to you.
Yeah, we've had this plan for a while now, and we just want to get into it real quick to give you sort of an overview of what we're going to be aiming for the rest of this season and the future.
We love Be Entertainment, and our vision was always to watch the best Be Entertainment from yesteryear. So with this season, what we're going to do is it's particularly focusing on Baywatch. But now that you've got like the gist down, you know the characters and the meat and potatoes of it.
That's Colin's favorite phrase.
Cadence actually was the one that originally said meat and potatoes. But now that you have the meat and potatoes of it, what we're going to do is Baywatch is two seasons long. I think there's, 48 episodes?
Yeah, something like that.
So what we're going to do is just condense the best and juiciest stuff for you guys.
The juiciest meats.
Juiciest tenders.
The juiciest meat. Potatoes.
So we're going to be watching all of the episodes, but when we podcast to you, we're just going to be condensing them, like I said. So we'll be moving at a much faster pace, and then we will close out this season. Oh, but Katie Dins. Tell them. Cadence's name is Cadence. That's what her born with name was, but I would just call her Katie.
Born with
her. Her name is Cadence.
My God-given name.
Tell them about our little surprises, our juicy little surprises.
So I think you're going to love this, but we have a special Thanksgiving episode where we are going to watch a very, very, very special movie. We're not going to tell you about it just yet.
But just buckle your shorts, busters.
But I want to know whose shorts have buckles.
Buckle those shorts.
Buckle your Buster. Pilgrim shorts.
Your lederhosen.
And your pilgrim hats. Buckles all around.
And we have two. So yeah, we're going to do two special little holiday ones. And then we've got two little secret gems from Baywatch. I don't know if you guys are aware, but there was a Baywatch wedding.
A movie, you guys. A movie.
A movie. And I don't know if our diehard Baywatch fans out there, but Mitch, I believe, eventually becomes a night cop.
Yeah, so there's this very precious, if we're being realistic, it is avant-garde, postmodern.
What is that? Noir. Like,
yes,
very, like,
complete noir like, at its finest.
Mitch is going for a whole different look in this. No more sun and beach. It's Baywatch, but
he opens a nighttime detective agency, and it's called Baywatch Nights, and it's about him joining a private eye, and they solve mysteries at night.
I'm hoping it's intense Baywatch mysteries.
I'm so excited.
So that's exciting, and then I had something that was on the tip of my tongue that I was just going to say. Oh, and Cadence and I have never watched, that's what I was going to say, we've never watched Baywatch Nights, or we've never watched the movie. So this is going to be a really fun journey for us.
We did not know these things existed. So you're going to be experiencing this for the first time with us, and we're going to be all virgins.
And it's going to be so good.
Losing our Baywatch Nights virginity together.
And you guys, let's be real. I don't want to do this. Cadence, you do it. I don't want to do it.
I don't want to do it either. You do it.
We don't want to be those people, you guys, but apparently if you have a podcast, you have to do it. You have to, like, if you like us and you're listening to us and you have, like, two free extra seconds, just go and rate us on whatever platform you're using, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Podchaser. It really, really does help, and it keeps us going, and I hate that I'm saying that.
oh, it feels dirty. It feels dirty. It feels like when you're, I don't know, begging for applause or like you really, like you're insecure in a relationship and you're like, tell me what you like about me.
Yeah, like, oh, give me
tell
a
me
like.
What your favorite things are.
Also,
about me.
We are kind of wondering, like, what you guys want to hear next. Like, we're so, we have ideas. I mean, we have tons of RB entertainment, but we're kind of like, what do you guys think we should do next?
And we've gotten a couple of suggestions from listeners, and already we're super stoked about what's coming in, because while we have our very, like, the things that are near and dear to us that we want to share with you and will share with you, there are people sending in suggestions already that are foreign to us that we've never seen or heard of, and we get to experience those for a first time as well.
Yeah, so if there's something you guys want to hear,
keep them coming.
I'm so excited to do all kinds of fun stuff. Okay, guys, we're jumping right into episode 5, but Cadence and I are... The beauty about Baywatch is sometimes they really try to get you so involved. So there's these, like, kind of these episodes that just take it to another level.
Mm-hmm.
And very dialogue, not heavy.
Right. I think it's more like cinema verite. They're trying to make you feel like you're right there.
And you do. I mean, trust me, you really do feel
and,
like you're right there.
But then the problem with having to actually distill this information and narrate / summarize for an audience, it gets real tricky
when
there's about a page worth of dialogue spoken the entire episode.
In a 30 or a 45 minute episode. So we're just going to squeeze this one together and then start getting into the other episodes where it gets a little better.
There's just a couple highlights we want to touch on, and then there's a plot point that ushers us into episode 6. So episode 5 is called Strike Team.
And it starts off with these 6 kids. They're kids. They're children. Well,
I mean, they're like maybe in their early 20s. They feel like kids to us.
They're not.
They're
like,
definitely kids to Allie.
They're not like 11. They're like, yeah, so they're 20. And they are like way further out in the ocean than they should be. And they're kayaking, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they are all dressed in like polos and
like
khakis.
Business attire. Like they're on a business trip.
And I think it's setting you up to see like these kids are wildly inexperienced to be kayaking
right in
the middle of the ocean.
Or are they taking it so seriously? The kayak is their business.
It's their actual business. And they're on Kauai, which is about 100 and something miles, 120 miles, or maybe 105 miles from Oahu. So they are very off course. And I don't know if you guys have ever been kayaking, but sometimes when you're kayaking, the kayak just flips over automatically.
Right.
Nothing instigates and nothing happens. Sometimes you just flip over.
It
so risk you take when you kayak.
Boop.
So all 3 kayaks at the same time flip over.
Right. And there's one kid who gets, he somehow makes it, like he swims all the way in somehow, and he decides that he's going to be the hero that this team needs. So he makes it to some casual people sunning on a beach, and he's like, call for help, call
for help. Yeah, he's like really aggressive about like stealing this lady's phone to call for help.
And this is the best part, probably, I think, of this episode. There are a lot of good parts, but this particular part makes me giggle.
Hey, shot him, Mitch.
Yeah, go ahead, Mitch.
Listen, I just got a call. 5 kids are missing off Hawaii. They're kayaking off the Nepali coast. Is the team ready to go?
Not as ready as I'd like to be.
Can you go?
Yeah, we're on our way.
All right, keep in touch.
This will be a test of our training.
Because Mitch gets the message from the woman on the beach that these kids are out there stranded and they've overturned their kayaks. And he asks Sean if his team is available and can they do the rescue?
And Sean's like, well, I don't know. Kakoa is struggling with some internal issues and Jesse and Deji's personal relationship. And he's like, no, dude, I'm not asking like psychologically, are they ready? I'm asking like physically.
Can they just do it? Can you guys just go? Can you get off the phone with me and just go to the rescue?
And Sean's still just going through each person's like innermost deep thoughts and struggles and issues.
He's just been obsessing about the team dynamic for so long. And we've been talking about it for 4 episodes and building the team that he's still on that track. He's like, I don't know. We haven't done enough team exercises. We haven't executed enough bad rescues. We haven't practiced enough. And you know that there's all these bed buddy issues, hallway buddies or whatever he calls them.
I think it was like bedroom bed popping buddies or something.
Yeah.
So Mitch, again, is just like, dude, go do it.
Can you just please
go? So Sean's like, let's do it, team, get on. And of course the team is like, yes, of course, let's do it. And this is kind of cool because I don't know if anyone growing up like watched Mighty Morphin Power Rangers or if you watched any of those shows. There's like each member has a specific role that they play. Right. And this is kind of where we get to see the strengths of each member. JD apparently is on map duty.
He stole all of Allie's. He's like, where's your box of maps?
He broke into Allie's room, took all of her maps, her rolled up maps, her monocle, and they just kind of drop him off like at the very, very top of Kauai. Like,
yeah, he runs all the way up to the top of like an old volcano, and then he just unrolls literally all of these maps, like unrolls like 10 maps and has them spread out all on the rock surface.
He's got his little pipe and his little detective's hat, and he's like, it really makes no sense, but I guess it's supposed to be like saying where they are. And Jesse is with Sean on boat duty, and Kakoa and Jason, they are on crazy, what are they called?
The jet skis.
Jet ski. How did I forget that in this show?
We all know that everybody knows how to fix a jet ski.
So, and they're doing it, and oh, Allie.
You guys, Allie.
Bless Allie's heart.
She's so stoked. She's like, I want to be part of this rescue.
She was the happiest to be part of it, too.
Anything you need, Sean, like, I is back and call, and he's like, walkie-talkies. Definitely do walkie-talkies.
So he hands her a walkie-talkie and he's like, just listen in. See what's going on.
This is a really valuable part of this job. It definitely is necessary. Allie's, you are a part of this team.
Walkie duty. And they go to start the rescue on Kauai. And they're looking around, and they definitely find two people right away just up against the rocks. In their full business attire, just lying there.
They were like, I'm late for a business meeting.
And they saved them. And so there's the one guy who got help, so he's saved. And then two on the land that got saved. And they're like, where the hell are these other, what is it, three people?
Mm-hmm.
And they go into like a lava cave, always lava tube. And they find one of the women. One of the original six, she's on a rock again, just like kind of lying there.
Right.
And it's really, really harrowing. You see everyone come together, but it's getting to be long and it's taking a really long time and like nighttime's approaching.
Long.
So they have to go like back. But then Sean is like, Cadence is so entrenched in the episode right now. I think she forgot we're...
Well, because I keep thinking about...
Her eyes are big. She's got popcorn in her hands. I'm like, I keep
thinking about the logistics of this because, like, where they're rescuing them is so far from, like, where their station is. Like, and
it definitely would have taken them a
little
time.
It's just, like, the logistics of that is mind-boggling to me. But then the best part, too, is that as night starts falling and... they still are looking for these other two kids. All the Baywatch team is like hanging out in Waikiki, like kind of going over the events of the day.
Back at their bungalow. And they had taken video, by the way. They had recorded their whole day.
Right. They had, oh, maybe it was Jesse that was on video
she
duty.
She was. Jesse
we were trying
was
to
on
remember
video
exactly.
She was in the
her
boat with
shop.
Sean on vid, dude.
So they're all gathered, like huddled together. And
still in their bathing suits.
They're still, night, haven't gotten dressed.
Have not gotten dressed or showered.
And none of them, basically, at this point, Sean's like, I'm not going to be able to sleep because these kids are out there.
Every second that goes by, these kids could more potentially die. It's
right.
I mean, what would you do if someone told you that? Would you just be like, I'm going to go to sleep? No way.
Yeah, so they're like, well, we're obviously part of the team. We're obviously ride or die. So we're all going to go with you. And I just keep thinking about how there's no Coast Guard involved. There's no helicopters,
there's no
ships, no
there's
police.
There's no military. It's solely up to the
Baywatch team. It's like six-person team to be all day, all night, no food, no rest, nothing.
No one else
They're
is involved in finding
all
these,
night.
These kids. It's just the ragtag Baywatch team.
And they have to notify the parents that their kid is, or
that
their kid's
two missing
still. And Sean doesn't even do the the bare minimum and put on a shirt. Like, he notifies the parents that their kids are possibly dead.
His sunglasses on the back of his head.
Baywatch Reds.
And again, it's like, I don't think Sean would be the one doing that.
I think of maybe a law enforcement official would be the one offering that news.
But I get, again, it's
we're Baywatch not on the team, we're so not on who knows?
So as Cadence said, they're back in their little bungalow watching the recordings from the day. And
because they've decided to reconvene to go back out for this rescue. So they're formulating a plan. And part of that formulation includes rewatching the night vision or like dark vision camera footage.
Cave cam. And it's really funny because it's like Minority Report. Like, keep in mind, this was the 90s and they played on TV and they're like zooming in like, wait, I think I saw something. And like the TV zooms in and then and it gets like clear and they see, I believe, like a hand. They see two hands.
They say they see a hand. But we have to take their word for it.
So, yeah, we did not see anything. So they're like, holy shit, we got to go back to this cave where before we didn't see anything. And this is where things get intense because they throw in this, they incorporate this whole other like plot line of this like creature like stalking them in the cave.
Right.
And the whole time you're like, oh, things are getting really serious.
And you kind of can't, at first you kind of don't know what's going on. You think they're still just in a high stress situation because they're in a pitch black cave trying to rescue two missing kids and feel their way through the dark and through the water in the pitch black, which is terrifying enough. But no. We can't just leave it at that. They start implying that there's something in the water, that like, something's like waiting for
like
them.
Nessie or like almost supernatural. Mm-hmm. But they just gaslight you because the whole time there's never a footage of anything. I'm like, dude, get an extra to like tie a shark thing on his back. Like, give us something.
Get like find some B-roll. Like anything.
Usable shark footage. Give us
literally
something.
Anything. It would take 2 seconds to edit that in. But instead, they just have the actors like shine their flashlights really fast on the water and be like, there he is, there he is. So they rescue the two kids.
Also, how did those two kids get in the cave? Like, they got deep, deep, deep in this cave.
Well, I feel like the first lesson we learn is like, the lava tubes are dangerous.
They always suck those fucking lava tubes.
So if you think for 1 second that a lava tube cannot just inhale two children, then you're wrong.
So wrong. And again, beasts live in this lava tube. So after they gaslight us for like 30 minutes of this like beast monster where they give us nothing, they eventually save the two kids in the back of the tunnel. And the whole time, Allie's on walkie-talkie duty. And she's standing right next to the parents.
She was having a flare that day.
She was standing right next to the parents. And it's like, Allie, we found the kids. And she would like turn to the parents.
She's like maybe 12 inches from them.
And she's like, they found the kids. And then it'd be like, Allie, one kid is knocked out. And she would look at him. The parents clearly heard the whole conversation. It'd be like, one of the kids is knocked out. It was just a lit. She's so sad. Poor girl. One of the kids. She probably couldn't figure out how to use that walkie-talkie.
She didn't get the lesson from Jesse and Dom that day, so she has no idea. She's like, what is this?
Oh, yeah, no, it was Dom.
It was Jesse and Dom.
The whole, like, Nexus thing. So, end of the episode, they save. Everyone's happy. But we get a little treat.
Right. So, what is necessary to set us up for episode 6 is that one of the sets of parents of these children happens to be quite wealthy.
Rich.
And he wants to reward this team for
working.
Which
is probably why they were dressed in a business attire on the kayak.
Oh, that they're like, don't even wear poor people bathing suits.
Yeah, they have to only wear rich
polos. You have to wear a button-up shirt when you're rich all the time.
It's a side note, I thought. That.
They're all ready for business at any given moment. You don't know when you're going to need to make a deal. You don't know.
So the best part is the parents are like, let us treat you to a weekend vacation at this place that you work at every day of your life.
You know this place that you come into every morning? Well, you get to be here even
It's
longer.
Literally like a hotel that's like right on the Baywatch Beach, which is really great. And that, leads us into episode 6.
Right.
Because
so,
that's when the team's together to celebrate.
But it's also really important that we emphasize here that the team really wants to take this vacay. And Sean, being the
natural
consummate professional,
yes,
or hard ass, bona fide hard ass,
as Don says,
he's saying, "You guys, this just does not feel right. deep down, he's like, you guys, we live here and work here, so it's a no for me. But the team's like, we want to get spoiled. They have the money. They want to make us feel better.
We want to lay by a pool all day and do the, like, literally the exact same thing.
In bathing suits. Something we never do.
And in case anyone drowns in the pool, we're there. Like, that's what we want to do.
So that, and then they all say, like, well, this is the one time, may I say, that they defy Sean. Because he's saying he doesn't think it's a good idea.
That we know to this point.
And they say, well, we're going to do it anyway because we deserve this. And so they start walking away. And the last frame is him being like, ah!
And he turns around.
And then freeze frame. So it very heavily implies that he has been convinced. And then that's, like Colin said, what leads us into the next episode. Because the next episode shows a man who is completely decked out in tourist gear. Actually, to his credit, he's not wearing a button-up and he's not wearing a polo.
I guess tourists in Hawaii just don't. It's like they've never been into the water before.
What is this?
So he's just in a full gear helmet, full puffy jacket, and he's in a single kayak.
He does look very overdressed for Hawaii. He's got, like, Under Armour on and, like, a puffy vest and full-length pants, gloves.
And he's holding a full-on video camera, recording himself. This was, you guys, this was the 90s.
99,
I think. They didn't have any phones, so if you remember back then,
the VHS recorder that you would, like, put on your shoulder, and you're all, like, one arm is, like, way buffer than the other one because you're lugging it around all the time. That's basically him on this kayak.
It appears that he's, like, filming himself for this woman, either his fiance, girlfriend.
It sounds like a fiance situation.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm filming myself, and I'm going to love that you're watching you watch me. And he just seems very conceited.
It's very odd. Like, he cannot wait to watch her watch him. And it feels like an infinite loop of narcissism, kind of. But whatever. I'm not in their relationship.
So he's clearly an amateur, and I think we all know what's going to happen. He's somehow, I guess Hawaii also has whitewater rapids every once in a while.
Yeah.
Just hugely Colorado rapids.
That you never see coming.
So while he's being narcissistic on his camera, boom, he hits whitewater rapids. Sure enough, falls out, boom.
He goes over the edge, and you see the kayak hit the water. But where's the guy?
Where is he? Like, where I'm like, what? Guys? Oh my God, did he must have fallen first. No. Zoom up. He somehow fell behind the waterfall.
I half expected to hear, like,
He's in behind a waterfall in, like, a perfect little alcove, and he's knocked the F out. Like, he is done.
He is Sleeping Beauty, guys. Sleeping Beauty. So that's just our opening, because we see that that's setting up what will later be the rescue that needs to take place, as there is always a rescue.
Along with so much more. We are back at the resort / workstation that the lifeguards are always at, and they are doing the same things that they do every day. They are in their swimsuits,
hanging out by water.
But I think they're a little bit more relaxed. They have their regular bathing suits on this time.
Kakoa is getting out of the pool in a leopard print bikini.
And do you remember that movie? What was it?
Oh, the Phoebe Cates.
You guys remember
Fast
Phoebe
Times Cates at Richmond High.
When she gets out in the red bathing suit, and it was like every guy in the world was like, boing.
Yeah, it's kind of a reenactment, except Kakoa is like a robot who's just been programmed to Earth and be an Earth woman.
She is real bad. She is.
I am exiting the water.
She's really. She's.
Do not let water interrupt hardware.
She has a different acting style, and we can say that acting style is extremely stiff.
Yeah.
As she walking out of the water, and I will take shower now. She passes JD, who is awkwardly getting a massage.
Yeah, it's by very the pool. Odd. It's like the massage table is full on set up. I mean, right, there are kids swimming. It's chaos. And he's just like laying out, getting a very intimate massage in front of everyone at this resort.
He's making some noises.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah. Yes.
If you're going to be having a public massage by a swimming pool, by the kid pool at a resort.
Keep it together. Seriously.
And you can tell that he's just like loving Kakoa's shower and he's just staring at her. And which again, she's showering in this. It's all a very strange
thing.
It's
like this outdoor, yeah, like pool shower.
And his eyes are glued on her.
But he's not being subtle. It's not even like he catches a glimpse of her. It's like he's getting rubbed down and he's watching every robotic move she makes.
Very sexy.
Very
robot.
Attentively.
Very sexy.
And then he starts making the absolute weirdest
noises.
Sounds.
And as this is going on, we have Allie and Sean, and they're Allie's back in her bloomers, in her bloomers and floral moo-moo.
Classic Allie.
And she's sitting with Sean, and they're kind of like just talking out, kind of getting to know each other a little bit better. And right. Sean mentions that, or sorry, Allie mentions that she heard this, there's like a day trip you can take to find like this secret treasure. And so that's what's happening. And then we're like, where's Jesse? Like, where's Jesse?
Hello?
Jesse, hi.
I've been waiting. Are you coming?
Turns out, dude, JD was supposed to meet her to go to do, what are they called?
They're doing conditioning.
But they
because
I can't remember what they call it.
They're like the exercises that they used to do for the triathlete stuff. Because JD was like her coach slash fiance.
Slash abuser. Like emotional abuser. He's the worst gaslighter. And so he's supposed to meet her to do these. And he's not there because he's getting a full rub down by the kiddie pool watching Kakoa. And Jesse is, you know, she's a nice girl, but she has PR.
She is ready to train. She's waiting and waiting and waiting. He doesn't show up, and she goes to hunt him down. And when she finds him, he's staring full down the barrel at Kakoa in the shower while making those sounds. He's like,
ooh, it's the weirdest.
And she walks by, and she's like, what the what are you doing? And here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. You would think that JD at that point, sorry, I'm on one right now, but at this moment, I just want to murder JD. Because at this moment, you would think that if your boy, because at this point, Jesse finds him and she's like, what are you doing? And instead, in that moment of getting it together, he continues to stare at Kakoa.
Just straight.
And she walks by and he continues to watch her. Like his head is turning in the direction that Kakoa was walking.
Jesse is literally behind him talking and he's
while he's trying, she's trying to get his attention.
Yeah,
she's like, what are you doing?
And he's like, just staring.
Just give me
her.
1 second. Just give me 1 second. She's still walking.
And you know what? I'm sorry, but Kakoa is a little too flirty. She kind of knows what she's doing and I just don't like that.
She knows
Mother
exactly
Hawaii,
what she's
more
doing.
Like Mother. I don't know where I was going with that one. Mother Hawaii? No. Mistress Hawaii. Basically, she
I
knows
like
what
the
she's
idea
doing.
That it's like Mother Hawaii, more like Hawaii.
Mother Hawaii.
Ooh, burn.
So Jesse obviously gets mad, storms away. Kakoa slinks by, like very robotically walks by, like she's got a limp in her leg. And then Jason comes up to the massage table, which. JD is still getting
massage. Pulls his plastic pool chair, sidles right on up and while he's mid-massage still.
He starts talking and being like, oh, and this is where Jason gets a little more insightful because you would think that he's talking about the women fighting over him, but no, he's talking about the power that...
The power dynamic.
The power dynamic and how this is between the females. And that's right. Very interesting because it brings a lot of perspective. So she's like, still mad that JD's not coming to do her these... to do these things with her. But Kakoa is like, well, if he doesn't go with you, I'll go with you, Jesse. Like, what? Total out of left field. Like, you would not see that coming. So it's like, where are Kakoa's motives? You know, what is going on?
It does feel like a little bit of a trick.
She's tricking. She's a
because
slinky
she's,
one.
She's like, oh, JD's too busy getting a public massage to come train with
and
you.
And making sex
I
noises.
Can do it with you.
Why
and it does feel a little bit like when they get alone, she's going to push her under the water or something. It feels a little weird. But
so they go to start their thing in this little river. And you can kind of see that they're making a little bit of like these catty remarks to each other.
It'll work. I don't know your routine, but if I get going too fast, just cry out. Slow down. Thanks. Don't take this the wrong way, but I do have to make certain time intervals. So if I pass you... It's only so I can hit my times, okay? Nothing personal. How can it be personal? This is training. Only training.
they're trying to one up each other big time. There's definitely like this competitive female energy, and it's all about, they're trying to make it like it's about their training and they're going to be competitive. But we all know that the subtext is this is about JD. Which, why?
And then, so we leave with them. We come up to a completely, like a park. You guys, I'm sure there's a park in your hometown where it's just beautiful green grass, right? Everyone has a park.
I mean, that seems logical, like now, an assumption.
JD drives up in the Chrysler Sebring convertible, the red
mid-park. One. Mid-park.
Mid-park. And I just want to say something. This is a fascinating story about me. When I was like 8 years old, and I have no idea why, I was obsessed with the Chrysler Sebring convertible. I thought it was the epitome of like wealth and class. And I cut out pictures of Chrysler convertibles and put them on Nana's wall. I loved it.
You must have done this secretly, kind of like porn, because I don't remember those things. I remember Rachel Lee Cook all over your walls.
Oh, I loved Rachel. Are you kidding me? She's all that. Oh, loved it.
Classic.
So he drives up, literally just parks the Chrysler Sebring convertible red.
In the middle of the park. Not in a parking lot.
Not in a driveway.
Not even like a roundabout or anything. Directly it's just in the on the grass. And then here's the kicker. They leave it there. They're like, okay, well, now we can go on our adventure. Well,
when we say they, he's, I guess, not picking up Jason. He's just going to meet Jason. I guess
he's just going to meet him.
Because Jason's in his full cowboy
You're
getup.
You're right. Again. He doesn't. And he's posed. He's standing in the middle of the field. Not imagine a cowboy with his leg, like one leg crossed, leaning up against a tree. Imagine that pose, but with no tree to lean on.
In the middle of a park with kids and families.
That's
JD
Jason.
Drives up, and you're like, oh, he's going to pick him up, and they're going to go somewhere. No, he leaves the car, and they
start
walking.
And they just leave the car parked on the grass, and they're like, let's go have an adventure.
JD's like, dude, Jason, you got to quit with this, like, silly Texas thing. It's time to make you, like, Hawaii-ified. And so they go to
Jason
a shop.
Jason cannot give up his cowboy hat.
And though. They're, like, trying to find a thing, and these women, so they go to the shop to find shirts, and Jason's changing into these multiple shirts inside of the store, and I am, it's like you would want, I would walk up to him and be like, did you want to try on a medium or a small? I wouldn't even work there. I'd just
because
offer
the woman who's giving, she works at the store and he takes off his shirt to put on the Hawaiian shirt. And she just, I truly think they captured her real life reaction.
She like,
I don't think that was acting
cross-eyed.
Because she like, yeah, she kind of like completely goes out of it. The
looks
little
like
drool falls out of her mouth.
Looks like he's got a nice pair of, nice pair of balls.
Yeah.
So they're having a little boy.
Yeah,
day.
So Colin like and casual... I decided that if we were in that store, we would just be like, oh, here, try this one. Try this one on. Try this one on. Try this one on.
We wouldn't work there, just constantly getting in.
Just
and it's
random.
Kinda like they're kind of bonding, having a little boy's day. They might go get some brunch, have a mimosa, maybe a cocktail or two.
A
shopping.
Mimosa? A Momoa mimosa?
Mimosa?
I was trying to figure out how to make that joke, but it just kept sounding like I was saying mimosa and Momoa.
And we cut over to Allie and Sean, the grandparents of the group. And as we said earlier, Allie has not convinced, she just put this idea into Sean's head that they should go looking for this treasure, apparently, that's somewhere in the island. And as they're walking, they're getting to know a little bit about each other. And for a minute there, you're like, Dagombone? Because you kind of feel a little bit of chemistry.
It's so beautiful from up here. I bet the sunsets are fantastic.
I've come up here many times precisely for that reason.
With your wife? I heard you were married.
Was?
Sorry, Sean. I didn't mean to pry. It's just, you know, we're all kind of curious about you.
I have a feeling you're curious about a lot of things. Look, it's no great mystery. Got married too young and it didn't work out.
Your choice or hers?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that.
Any kids?
Not that complicated.
For sure, between Sean and Allie.
Sean and Allie are, it's kind of like when you see the elderly couples going for the early bird dinner specials. That's kind of.
Like they're walking real slow because Allie's got her knees.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Allie's, I wonder how long it's been since Allie's dated and hooked up or had sex.
Oh, she's probably got a cobweb situation going on.
She's just so rickety. Back in my day, dating was when you were courted.
You courted until a baby came.
3 weeks of courting. And so they're just getting to know each other. We are back to Kakoa and Jesse.
And this is where the nitty gritty, or as Colin would say, the meat and potatoes of this happens.
They're getting really heated and you're like, ooh, some shit's about to go down.
Because
these girls are about to punch each other.
They've framed this as it's like they're being super competitive because they're both supreme athletes. But then they literally ram their paddle boards into each other, have a collision.
Damn it, Kakoa, that was your fault!
My fault? You were crowding me on purpose!
Hey, you know what? I'm not playing this anymore.
Play what?
You want him? You got him.
Who are you talking about?
Oh, please. Like you don't know. JD! He's what started this whole thing, and you know it!
Oh, that's right, isn't it?
Yeah, it is right.
Stupid.
Mary.
Over a guy.
Over JD. I don't want him.
I'm not sure I do either. Not after the way he's been acting.
Jesse, I'm so sorry about the way we started off.
It even says tense music at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh God, they're going to hit each other. And then it turns out they both start giggling. They laugh. It's a cuckoo situation. They're like, what are we doing, girl? Girl power. We don't need JD.
And my favorite part is like, we're doing this over a guy. And Jesse goes, no, we're doing this over JD.
I know. Why does no one, like, why does no one want Jason's body? Like, no one has
it's
had any.
It's a very bizarre alternate world. Yeah.
Like, why is JD getting all this action?
I don't understand it. Because I feel like as soon as they moved to Hawaii, Jesse would have just been like, oh, you know, JD, it's been fun, but.
I got this 6'4". Hunk a hunk with two big nice
this
pair of balls.
Beefcake.
And we are I hate that I keep saying pair of balls. But this is I don't know if you guys heard last episode, but Katie was like, oh yeah, Jason's got a nice pair of something.
And no, I, was like, I said
what something does
and then
he have?
I was thinking like eyes, butt cheeks.
You were thinking
and Colin just absolutely went straight to testicles. Balls.
The girls, so anyway, they start fighting, it's all a joke, and they kind of are starting to bond, which is actually really cool. I feel good about that, because nobody needs, like, that fighting over a man. That's
and they basically
bullshit.
Decide to, like, reintroduce themselves to each other
start
and start
over.
From scratch.
Hey, get that eraser out, erase it, let's start over.
As they continue to paddleboard up the river as friends, which also...
New friends.
I mean... It's kind of one of those wonderful Baywatch metaphors where they're starting a new journey on the river of life and they are paddling upstream trying to make it work. Just two gals.
Two gal pals.
Two gals in a big stream. And they're kind of talking about they're trying to get to know each other in a different way. And Jesse asks something of Kakoa that seems backhanded.
Do you mind if I ask you a question?
If I can ask you something back.
Deal. Okay, don't take this the wrong way. But, why are you on the team?
Well, I guess I overwhelmed you with my ability.
No. What I mean is, okay. Well, JD, he's super organized, right? And Jason's a really good swimmer. Sean, of course, has all of the experience. And Allie, well, Allie's good at everything. So you want to know what I've got?
Yeah. I don't get lost.
You don't get lost?
My mother's Hawaiian, so I get it from her. I am what the Hawaiians call ho'okele, a navigator.
I guess I still don't really understand.
Well, think about it. Well, Europe was still in the Dark Ages. Polynesians sailed all over the Pacific Ocean. They sailed without a sextant or a compass. Them like thousands of miles apart without any maps or no charts.
Wow. That's one hell of a talent.
Thanks.
So as you heard from that, they cleared up, but that was a strange thing to ask.
It feels...
And also, JD's super organized. What? That doesn't make any sense to me. He's
don't tell me that you
organized.
Can run to the top of a mountain with a fanny pack full of maps.
And not be organized. And as they're paddling and getting to know each other, they notice kayak is on the side. Well, A, it's this beautiful waterfall that I apparently nobody in Hawaii goes to. Completely empty.
It's just completely empty.
And they notice the gentleman
from
earlier.
No tourists.
His kayak is on the beach. And they're like, oh my gosh, we have to get this. And my favorite part is they're looking around. And, like, placed nicely on top of the kayak is the camcorder we spoke mm-hmm. about earlier, which I guess it's just completely waterproof.
Yeah, it floated down gently from the top of the waterfall.
I love this in TV and movies when people find cameras and it's always just starts at exactly the spot they need it to start mm-hmm. at.
No rewinding, no fast forwarding.
Nothing. And obviously they catch this guy who is falling off the cliff. So they're like, oh shit, where is this guy?
So they see his video proof with his VHS cam. And they were like, well, he has his camera and we have his kayak, but we don't have him.
And it's just it's an overall.
They get to watch first person narrative. They get to see him go over the cliff with the camera. And so now they're like, well, he must be up there. So they start screaming. And what do you know? As soon as he hears their lifeguard voices, he's like, slumber? Slumber, awaken?
And my favorite thing is he doesn't like wake up and go like, hello, hi. He just flops himself right out of that.
He just literally heaves his body over the edge.
It's like he doesn't even assess the situation. He's like, nope, I'm flopping out here ASAP.
Bump.
And as you can imagine, Kikoa and Jesse hop right into
And with so much gear, he sinks right to the bottom of that pond. So they pull him out of the water, and they are thinking on top of their feet because that's who they are. That's what they're trained for.
What do we do?
And they decide that they're going to make a raft, and they're going to support this man on a raft. So they, because they've been doing their interval trainings, they're not wearing their normal Baywatch bathing suits.
They're wearing, like, what are they called? Like, rash guards?
Rash guards. That's what they are, because they're not, like, full-body wetsuits. And so they've got sleeves. So they rip off their sleeves, and they tie their two paddle boards that they've been using together to make a raft so that they can sail him back down the river. And it's so precious, and it's so moving, because it's like they're each giving a part of themselves.
It's very true.
And they're uniting in one effort. And it's really solidifying their friendship. And it's solidifying that they work together.
And that they
hang out together.
One friend unit.
They are one unit.
They both gave a piece of themselves,
and
AKA
their,
clothing and their hearts, to come together and save a life. And that is one of greatest things that Baywatch does, as far as, again, those metaphors that they slip in. Sometimes it can go unnoticed. Sometimes it can go unnoticed, but when it's there, if you look.
You just have to have the eyes to
see
it.
We go and meet JD and Jason on their boys' day. They're continuing. Jason has now changed his Galveston, Texas style to a more Hawaiian style. So he's wearing this, like, oversized, like, basically like your dad went on vacation. He's wearing that shirt. And they come across these women, I want to say women, but they're younger.
That's a loose term.
They're young females. And this is the best thing about Baywatch. They love picking extras, and these extras are obviously extras for a reason. And they're just so stiff and like, hi, what are you doing? I am Sexy Lady. I am Sexy Lady 1. And even
yeah,
the way
you can tell they auditioned for Sexy Lady 1, Sexy Lady 2, Sexy Lady 3.
That's literally what they came to audition for that. And they're just so stiff and awkward. And they're, like, sitting with their chests out. And, like, they're trying so hard to, like, put their butts out and their chest out and keep their legs together.
And keep their stomachs sucked in.
You can just see the struggle. They're, like, kind of sweating and, like, their lips
are And they're
moving.
Trying to balance on the edge of the dock. Like, we're so relaxed having a picnic.
So, because women can't do anything.
Can we just pause for a second and appreciate how.
I was going somewhere with that. I follow up with that. I do believe
Jamie. What you're has been on Jason's balls about his fashion, but JD's
balls.
Literally wearing swim trunks with a t-shirt tucked.
Not a t-shirt,
into,
a tank top.
Or a tank top tucked in.
It's like a tucked in tank top
and
to these,
like,
giant board shorts.
It's so weird. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
Back to what
Where
I was saying about
going?
Women can do anything.
Women can do anything.
Because, you know, in this scenario, these helpless females just don't know
right.
what to do, and they have this boat, and they're like, can you help us do this boat?
Mm-hmm.
And the guys are so enraptured by these women's mechanical beauty that they're trying to flirt with them, and they notice that this boat that they're trying to help these women with is, like, actively sinking.
Hey, hold on to that bow line.
What?
If you don't hold on to the bow line, the boat's gonna float away and you're gonna have to swim after it.
Have you ever done this before?
Put a boat in the water?
Oh, yeah. A lot of them.
Well, we never have.
This is Monique's boyfriend's boat. We're just borrowing it.
Not my boyfriend. Just a friend.
Oh, when did that change? About 2 seconds ago when... What's your name?
JD.
I love initials. They're so evocative. They can mean so many different things. JD.
Stella.
What?
The boat.
So, could you help us?
Yeah, you bet.
Like knee deep in water. Right
the women
now.
Are dumb. And they the have women? No brains. So they're like, we just want to take this boat on.
We don't know what the boat is.
We don't know what to do.
What is boat? Can we do it? You're like, my body.
What is boat?
Do you know what that was a reference from?
No.
Anna Nicole Smith. When she goes to the awards, you're like, my body.
I don't remember that, but that's a great Anna Nicole Smith.
The guys are like, what? So distracted with the boobs that they realize the boat's sinking. And now they're like actively like paling out of it. And I'm like, dude, it's a boat. That's like a $2 million boat just sinking.
And you can hear this like very sort of like Three Stooges-esque music playing. It's like.
So basically it's painting Jason and JD as being kind of these silly, you know, silly. And then.
Because they're all wet, because they sunk. I mean, you guys, they didn't just. As the boat was sinking, they had plenty of time to bail and be like, okay, well, there's nothing we can do. But they literally waited until the whole boat's underwater so that they are also too underwater.
And I'm sorry. I want to be so mad at one of those girls. I would take Jason and I wouldn't care what he would. I would just be like, yes, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
I don't need your help with anything. I need your help with one thing.
I need your help with one thing.
Very.
One thing only. But multiple times.
Rearranging my insides. Ew. So, it sounds way grosser if it's out of context.
It's also worth noting that because they are so wet, not the women, the men. Because they're so wet, they have to go back to the original gift shop that they changed Jason's shirt at, and the original sales girl that completely, like, went glassy-eyed. She sees them both walking towards her. They're also wet. Now Jason's wet and pretty much naked, and she's like, what brings you guys here? And you can just see in her mind, she's like, he wants me.
I mean, I would.
But yeah. Really, he just wants another shirt.
So I guess it's like this cuckoo, like Cadence said earlier, it's like this Three Stooges kind of like, doop, 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 and they're just like trying to impress various very young girls.
They're just like walking around like the boat
they're
dock.
Trolling the boat dock.
They totally are. Hey, it's Missy. Very odd.
Hey, Missy. And yeah, that's actually what they're doing. And Jason decides that it's going to be cool to put a cigarette behind his ear because he thinks smoking makes him look cool.
You going to smoke that?
I don't know. I might.
You ever smoked before?
No.
Then why start?
I don't know. I figure it'll enhance my self-image.
What's wrong with your self-image that a cigarette's gonna fix?
Don't know.
Man, you're putting yourself through all these mental hoops.
You know what it is? I think it's the motion.
You see a beautiful lady, and you do one of these. She comes running over to you, she grabs you, and she says, cigarette man. You're the one for me.
It's a possibility, baby.
No chance, buddy.
No, it's the motion. I think that's what it is.
You know what I think it is? It's all in your head.
This is where we sort of veer into, like, after-school special territory. Because JD's like, smoking isn't cool, dude.
We go and meet Sean and Allie on their little hike. And like I said, they're really getting to know each other. And Allie's got quite a long past, obviously. So Sean has a lot of questions he needs to ask for her. And she's
starting
just like,
in 1919.
I was born in 1812. And I'm just curious, like, how nobody would. Allie's the only person that knows about this treasure. Like, nobody knew. Like, how does she know?
Hi, she developed the maps.
That's what her rolled up maps are for. They're all treasure maps.
She's been hunting treasures for 150 years.
Call her Nicolas Cage, because she is a national treasure hunter.
You almost had it. You almost had it. It was so close.
So that makes total sense.
Have you seen any ancient writing or cryptic symbols yet?
No. But if there is a treasure close, there'll be some sort of totems or signs.
So what great treasures have you found?
The truth?
Yeah, why not?
Not a bloody thing.
Listen, I'm sorry before when I was abrupt when you asked me about my wife.
You don't like talking about yourself?
No, not particularly. It bores me.
Well, everyone's story is the same, only different.
Not exactly. And we've all heard them before. Although I am curious as to what got you interested in treasure hunting.
Well, watching old movies, listening to my dad who made the past sound so romantic.
Not the money, though.
Well, money found is the sweetest of them all.
But it's not the most important thing, right?
It's the hunt. Finding something that's been lost for decades or centuries.
And they find this beautiful cenote. Well, I said that that's a Spanish word, but a cenote is like a hole with water, I believe. Like what they're in, basically.
Jason can find my cenote.
I would not say cenote to Jason. And the funny thing is now we have a slow motion reveal of Allie's body to Sean.
She's like slowly unzipping her muumuu.
But he sees it literally every day in her bathing suit.
She's
naked
basically every day in front of him.
But all of a sudden it's like, whoa.
She's wearing a bikini. You can see her midriff today.
Allie has a body? What?
You're just in that dowdy old Baywatch bathing suit all the time. I can't see the way your body looks in that.
And we're going to play a little clip of a Baywatch original song, because Baywatch is the best music and the lyrics
so
and everything.
Good. I mean, you've heard some of them in the past, but...
Just take a slight little listen. Just 5 seconds. Go.
Let the moon be our guide. Let it fall upon the water. Let the blue river flow. On to where it goes in a dark.
And
she does also the classic, the boob fluff.
Oh, the boob
where she's
fluff.
Like grabbing the sides of her bikini and like lifting them up a few times
Let
to be like
you,
these old things.
Cadence, do all girls, women do that? Because it's like constantly. In every movie, it's like that. They tug at their little strings.
Mm-hmm. Cup, it's kind of also like you want to be like, is this bra gonna hold up? Are we gonna have an accident?
Getting your jigglers out.
Mm-hmm. I call them my jello jigglers.
Jello jigglers. And anyway, they dive under the water, and the music that you heard is just playing, and they're finding the treasure, which apparently is a bunch of baskets, like just wicker baskets
on
the floor.
It does feel like a very odd thing to find. But, you know, she's like, baskets? Maybe there's some yarn down here.
Allie's so excited to see baskets filled with yarn. There's precious moments characters in there.
Oh, all my precious moments dolls. But I need them for my displays.
As they go and touch these baskets. And it's,
Sean's like being just such an oaf, like swimming through and knocking over precious remnants of a civilization underwater.
Again, like the Hawaii Historical Society didn't like know about, like these would be in a museum. They're not going to be like in a random cenote in Hawaii. Like
that anybody
you guys,
can.
Let's be real. Hawaii's gorgeous, but there's a lot of tourists there. There is no uncharted part of Hawaii, all
right? Right. You're not going to find a little like lost niche of Hawaii.
I know. Everyone thinks it's lost. Did you watch that show, by the way?
I freaking love Lost. Don't even get me started. They were not all dead in the end.
We had a friend.
It was the most beautiful ending I've ever seen, and I wept.
I heard it was very confusing. You guys, I can't.
You don't
want to
get
TV
me started about this.
I can't watch TV. I can't follow it. It doesn't make any sense. And Lost just seemed a little too lost.
I mean, if you couldn't find out why Lola was running in Run Lola Run, there's absolutely zero way You'd be able to follow Lost.
You guys, we literally watched this movie called Run, Lola, Run. And at the end of the movie,
Colin goes, it was really good. I liked it. But I couldn't figure out why she was running.
It's really bad, you guys. I can't follow movies. It's actually
we often have to Google like the plots afterwards so that we can just like get it all squared away. So there's no.
Well, maybe it's because we're talking. I'm always talking over movies.
It's true. Our partners, like both Alex and Jed, that's like.
Jed is Cadence's husband.
It's like their pet peeves. Like they want to watch a movie and they want to watch the movie. Colin and I want to watch a movie, but talk more about the movie that we're watching than actually watch it.
So annoying. And the thing is, it's like ticked. Every time I try to make a comment, it's a pause. They pause it and look at me, and I'm like, you can play the movie. I'm just going to say she has nice hair.
Mm-hmm. No, but like, he's like, oh, no, full attention. What are you going to say? What's this? Go ahead. You have the floor.
So maybe
you have
the floor. Maybe we need to stop talking so much during movies.
When Jed and I were dating, I always desperately wanted to, like, make out while we were watching movies. And so my fantasy was like, oh, this is such a passionate makeout.
You wanted to Netflix that, like, and chill.
Yes. And the movie's like playing and we're like doing our thing. No, you guys, every time we would start making out, I could feel Jed's hand moving and I'd be like, oh, he's going to fill me up.
He's not undoing your bra. He's trying to find the remote.
So he's literally looking for the remote. So he's like kissing me, one eye's half open. He's feeling around with his hand so that he can pause the movie and we can continue the makeout because he doesn't want to miss anything. Like as if you couldn't just rewind it. But I used to get so irritated. I'm like, just let go in the moment.
He cannot miss a section. Not of a that section. Movie. I was going to say a really bad movie, but I'm trying to think of Megalodon. I thought that,
like, maybe it was like in his mind, because he's, to me, I'm like, well, if we're making out, then you're not catching the plot anyway. But I think for him, subconsciously, if he's hearing any of the words, then subconsciously somewhere the plot is not no longer a surprise.
It definitely depends on the movie you're watching. If you're watching Schindler's List and trying to make out.
I mean, that would be on me. Possibly. That would be on me.
Actually, yeah, that is all you. I don't know why you would ever try to make out with somebody.
Okay, let's back it up.
Let's say it was like Sweet November, which I saw.
Was that the Winona?
No, Charlize Theron and Keanu Reeves, and it's so good.
There's a very similar one with Winona Ryder and is it Harrison Ford?
I don't know, but I just remember I was like, that's when I experienced emotion for one of the first times in my life.
It's Richard Gere.
I was like 10, 11 crying.
And Winona has cancer?
No, it's the same. Charlize Theron has cancer.
Okay, so it's like the same plot, I guess,
and
apparently.
It takes place in San Francisco, so it's
the other
cool.
One's New York, but similar.
All right, tangent over. We are back to the scene. Okay, so basically, Ali and Sean saw the baskets and the little tiny treasures in the thing.
They're enamored with each other and with the baskets.
And they, they got enamored with each other, happy. Now we're back with the two stooges, Jason and Judy,
still trolling
the docks, and they come across two girls, and this is where it gets really good. They're like, these girls are just sitting on the dock, looking up at their boat, whining.
Hey, check it out.
Come on,
little one, please come down.
Hey, you girls need a little help?
Oh, yes, please. It's Andy. He's stuck. Andy, come on down. Could you help us get him down?
Yeah, sure. No problem. Look at him.
Me?
Yeah, you. You nuts? Go ahead. Make yourself a hero. Better for your self-image than those damn cigarettes.
I reached for that cat. He's going to turn my hand into mincemeat.
Well, can you help us, please?
All right, I got an idea.
And so the boys walk up and they're like, do you ladies need help? And they're like, our cat, you heard me right, cat is up in the like crow's nest of this boat.
You heard it.
A cat.
That wily cat.
Thing, a cat on a dock up on a crow's nest. And like, why would their cat be outside? Why would they take their cat to the docks? Like, but do they live on the boat as a lesbian couple? And that's their cat?
And how did he get up there? Because it's a metal
pole. That's the other thing.
There are no ropes. There are no, it's nothing.
It's
like
a giant metal pole. So there's a lot of questions on how got to the top and who these women are and do they live in the boat. And if they did live in the boat, I'm sure they would know how to get their cat down by now.
So JD, we want to know the backstory of these women. That feels important and relevant, but whatever.
Maybe we should like email in.
Yeah.
To the nobody that knows the show anymore and see what the
to the writers wherever they are, hunt them down. So I just want to address the issue of the women living on the boat in episode 6. All right, was that a lesbian situation? Were they friends?
Our next episode is going to be an entire backstory.
Were they on a houseboat? With the cat.
Our next Baywatch episode is a whole.
If there are any story. Baywatch Hawaii writers out there, call us. Find us on Instagram. We have questions.
So JD and Sean decide to help them get this cat off the bow crow's nest, right, or whatever you want to call it.
And JD says, this will be better for your self-image than that cigarette, because he's still stuck on that cigarette. That's unlit, by the way. Jason does not smoke. He's doing it for the cool factor.
He's just taking care of Jason. He wants those lungs to be the pink they can, as pink as they can. I don't like that I said that.
I have something that's pink that I can have him take care of.
Oh my goodness. Get your kids out of that room.
Can you tell that I'm really good at flirting?
Appropriate.
Can you tell that I really, really know how to pick up men? Because I do.
You can rearrange my insides.
I have pink organs.
Cadence needs to get off her horn wagon and get back to the show.
Honk, honk.
JD. Honk, get on the horn wagon.
That's just sort of how I imagine that.
They come up with this plan.
Grab that block and tackle. That's too slow.
Oh, this is brilliant.
And safe, too.
Thank you, thank you. Oh, Andy, they're saving you. My little kitty, kitty, don't be a scaredy.
No applause yet, ladies, please. On to little Andy. Andy is safe and sound. Okay, here he comes.
Go quick!
What did you do?
Well, you said you wanted them down.
We got them down.
Like, pull the bow down to where it, like, bends and bends. Imagine a catapult. Like, you're pulling a catapult down.
A what-a-pult? A what-a-pult?
A pult. See the layers in this show. The layers. Gosh,
you got us again. Layers.
They got us again. So, imagine a catapult. And what do you think the hell is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? That's right. The thing breaks and it literally catapults the cat.
You guys, the cat
flew over the entire
it's got
5 JD minutes of flying.
And Jason's muscle power behind it. Right? So they're like pulling, the tension's getting tighter. You see the chain stretching and stretching and stretching. And you're like, this is not going to end how I think it's going to end. There's no way this cat's going to go flying. Like that's my thought process. Like, no, this can't possibly be where this is going to end up. But as the tension gets tighter and tighter and the music gets more like a little stoogier, you're like, no. And then it happens like that. And that cat freaking flies
there
across.
There are 6 scenes of the cat flying across space.
And you see, like, different people along the stretch of the dock that are, like, each looking from one side of the sky to the other as the cat passes overhead.
And the cats are agile, but that cat be dead after that.
It landed on its feet, according to the show. But I think had a catapult really been launched that far, there would not be a hope of survival.
Yeah, it says no animals were harmed in this. But
they make a special point of that at the credits.
I don't think that's the case.
But you launched a cat, so. So the cat flies and whatever. It's just
ridiculous.
The absolute most insane thing I've ever watched.
Ridiculous.
And we come back to the cave, where Sean and Allie are enjoying a nice cup of Metamucil.
And they are glistening.
And
glistening with
some oatmeal.
Water. Oatmeal.
Metamucil and oatmeal, because they're old.
Metamucil. and oatmeal, warm bread and milk. And as they get out of from finding all the treasures in the baskets, there is a man standing right above them.
Where did you come from? We're just exploring.
For what?
Buried treasure. Here?
Yes, this place is called Kiakua Poli, which means place of treasure.
Actually, it's called Poliakua, and it means a place of great value.
Oh, well, we're in the right place then.
Depends. What do you consider valuable?
Gold, rubies.
It's the wrong island for rubies. See, the items here of great value are the bones of our Na'ali'i.
Perfect. It's a graveyard.
Oh, we didn't know.
I hope you didn't disturb anything.
Nope, we didn't disturb anything.
Then you shouldn't have a problem.
Well, let's just say that we did bump one of these jugs. I mean, what kind of problems are you talking about here?
Well, if body parts begin to fall off.
Got it.
Have a nice day.
Where did he go? I don't know. Let's go. Oh,
kind-looking man, but, you know, stern.
Stern.
Stern but kind. And they're like, Allie's like, I promise we didn't touch anything. Oh, I do a really bad Australian accent, you guys. I'm sorry. That is just almost offensive.
Bless your heart.
She says that they didn't touch anything, she swears, and Sean's like, I swear, like, we didn't take anything. And this guy, I don't know. Where did he come from? He's in full Polynesian gear, that giant Polynesian necklace. He's got this salt and pepper thing going on that I kind of like, though.
Yeah, he's kind of handsome.
He's like handsome. He looks like he could be like either 50 or 20 with gray hair.
My favorite thing, though, is that like Allie tries to tell him what the interpretation of the Polynesian word is. She's like, it means treasure. And he's like, actually, bitch.
He's like, bitch, I'm right here.
I'm Polynesian. And it means place of great value.
He's literally wearing like a bone necklace and has a like the thing that in Moana,
sarong.
Like the hook and a sarong or a... I think I wore those and I don't know that they're called sarongs. But anyway, he's clearly very Polynesian. And he's talking about what happens if people try to take it and what happens when these things happen.
Because he's explaining also that treasure, she's saying it means treasure and he's saying, no, it means place of great value. What do you think has value? And Allie's like, rubies and diamonds. And he's like, okay, no. Well, that's why you're white.
That's why you're white.
And then he just
white.
Disappears.
So they
no, he just says, like, this is a burial, like, I think he says it's a burial ground, and this is more precious, like, it contains, like, history. Da,
yeah,
da, da, da.
The ground, so the value ground itself is the treasure, not necessarily the items within. Mm-hmm.
That's sacred good. Space.
But Allie goes to look at Sean, and they look at each other like, oh, you silly. And then they look back, guy's gone. Ghost.
Ghost, guys.
He was a ghost. Call this show Casper, because we're getting some ghosts.
We're getting lots of them.
Remember Landlord Ghost from Shark Island?
Yeah.
Who I guess Tanner kind of saw. And
Landlord Ghost. Yes, Landlord Ghost of Shark Island.
Lots of ghosts. And then I think it's somewhere at the beginning, Jason saw Sign of a Ghost. So that's the episode, guys.
Oh, you're right. He did see like a spirit when he was looking for the spirit of his dad.
That's it. Sorry. Great episode. Recap. I think the main was Kakoa and Jesse becoming friends. They're now friends.
Such an important
but
step, guys.
They have a little bosom bond. And they worked together. And like Cadence said, they came together to save a life. And they were both giving parts of themselves. And they also realize how petty and stupid it was to fight over JD. Like,
I hope they soon realize how stupid JD himself actually is. Let's get this.
Of all the men, I don't know what
picture.
I don't know what you listeners are feeling, but if you could like put, I mean, obviously we talk about Jason a lot, but hopefully you can someday, if you want to check out our Instagram, we have pictures of the team.
Oh, we
so
always.
It makes it a little better. If you don't want to do Instagram, because I actually just kind of plug that, you can go in to. There's this thing called Google, and apparently you can look up pictures of the cast.
Yeah, it's really crazy. It's like you can put any word into a box.
Allie taught me this.
And then a picture will come up.
And you can see what each person looks like, because I'm sure if you've never seen the show, you've like developed your own like idea of what these people look like. But what I'm getting at with that is, like, Sean and Jason and JD are all very handsome, but, like, I would love to go for Sean or JD. Even Noomi.
You know what?
Or, I'm sorry, yes. Sean and Jason, not Sean and JD. Sean and Jason and even Noomi before I would
go for JD. No offense, JD.
JD, we love you.
No offense.
You can save our, you can roll up our maps anytime you want. But I'm just saying, it's kind of weird that all the women are really into JD.
It feels it feels like an alternate universe. And I'm not even saying this from a space of, like, now in 2020 where everybody's a hoe for Momoa, that I'm, like, looking back on it being like, why isn't Jason getting any love? Because even when we watched this before, it felt like, am I a crazy person? Am I a crazy person that people are fighting over JD?
Do people's eyes not work? What is
this? I know, because he's, like, tall and beautiful, and not one woman is even remotely interested in him.
And he even hits on Allie and, like, it's the best she's ever going to get in her 87 years. She'd be all over
that. I mean, you don't know. She's probably had a vast array of lovers.
True. She's a love machine. But I would be like, hell yes, Jason. I don't care if you're 19.
You would think she would swoop right in there.
Come shit on my lap, bro.
Come break these bones.
Jesse and Coco are friends now. JD and Sean are developing their little bromance together. And kind of just, I guess when they're together, it's like Three Stooges. No, you said Sean and Jason. I said JD and Jason.
Oh, well, then you know what we mean. JD and Jason developed.
JD and Jason are developing a bromance.
And Sean and Allie are developing their weird.
Now that Sean saw Allie in a regular bathing suit.
With the one flap of fabric missing from her midriff.
He's kind of feeling it. So I wonder where this is going to take the team.
I'm mostly just excited that the contention between Jesse and Kakoa has subsided so that we can stop dealing with this weird cat fight.
And hopefully Dawn just slips in and they get back together. All right. So next week, our next episode, we said earlier before, we are going to start speeding up the process and condensing the episodes. So we will get through all two seasons. And even though we only condensed two episodes today, we'll start condensing a lot more.
Paying off this pace.
And we're going to get you, I think some new characters are introduced. And like I said before, that meat and potatoes.
And, all of the meats.
All right, guys. Potatoes. And by the time we're recording this, it's voting day, so vote. Well,
I think that the polls are closed, but
hope you voted.
We hope you voted.
Be active in making a change.
Let's all hope by the next time we meet, our future is looking different.
That's exactly it. Let's just hope and pray that our future is looking different, because I think we're all sick of this shit.
Just so sick.
All right, guys. Bye. So anyway, JD's having none of it. He's like, Jason, you've got to change. We're in Hawaii now.
Like, you look like an idiot.
This cowboy shit. Yeah, you look like an idiot. So they're kind of having a little bonding day going shopping in Haleiwa, which is a town kind of in North Shore.
And Jason takes his shirt off in public to change into a very stylish Hawaiian shirt, because I guess if you live in Hawaii, live, work, breathe Hawaii, you wear Only Hawaiian shirts.
That's all you do.
And every time he takes his shirt off, every woman around him just stops what they're doing and stares. And I'm like, I'm not going to blame you.
I would be like, can I get you a... I don't even work there. Can I get you a size medium?
I would just keep handing him shirts. Just a random human just like, try this one on.
You look really good in that, sir.
I mean, you don't need my opinion, but if you did, I just wanted to say that you look amazing.
Whatever Hawaiian shirt he tries on, he still keeps that cowboy hat on. Because
he's always going
to
be him.
He's always going to be him. And yeah, that's what it's getting to. It's like, you can change my outside, you can change my inside. No, you can't. Sorry. You can't change my insides. You can change my outsides, but you can't chase my insides.
Just forget about it. Change all sides anytime of the sides.
You can't change my Jessence. And Jessence is Jason Essence. You can't change my Jessence. Okay? Bottom line is what I was trying to say.
You're just too rattled.
I'm too rattled. Like, he was changing his shirt and I went right back to that.
You can change my insides.
Ew! Change my insides around. Oh, it's so disgusting. It's kind of true. I would say that's like a pickup line that I would say really awkwardly. Hi, you could change my insides. I mean, you can change my shirt. You can, so nasty.
Oh, Jason, bless your heart. You don't know the power you hold.
You don't. How you've changed these two people's lives.
Okay, well, like, now that our insides have been rearranged by Jason Momoa.
Rearranged. So sick, you guys.
If you had an MRI on us right now, it would just be...
Just like, what the hell like happened? Okay, you're taking it too far. That is sick. Like an egg scramble before it's cooked. So nasty.
I wasn't even thinking of that. I was thinking of like a stir fry of organs.
That's what I mean. It's like they're pulled.
You said eggs before they're cooked, which makes it so.
You said an egg scramble. She said an egg scramble.
You guys, this metaphor didn't start out this way. It just
gross.
Oh no.
And she keeps bringing it up, and it's the nastiest. It's the nastiest, guys. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but you guys are going to have to hear this.
She's such a nasthole. I can't.
You guys are going to hear this joke so many times because I can't stop saying it. It's so funny. Okay,
you can change my insides, guys. But you cannot change my outsides.
If we ever start distributing merch, that is going to be the first thing that goes on a t-shirt.
You can change my insides.
You can change my insides.
Stop. We need to move on. She's having a field day with this. She's knocking over the tea. Every table shaking. Our little makeshift table.
Okay.
It's a really good pickup line, though. Okay. I mean, come on. Who would not be down for that?
Who wouldn't want that shirt?
Jeffrey Dahmer's really into that.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I think we are going to hit a gold mine with that.
Well, either way, we meet Jesse and Kakoa.
Until we stumble into our wealth.
Until we stumble into our apparel wealth.
We will move on. So, Jesse and Kakoa, they have been, like we mentioned,